RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Indonesian President and Laos Prime Minister agree to help on Rohingya problem. Indonesian President Joko Widodo opens Trade Expo Indonesia. Indonesian Tourism Ministry appreciate Selayar Calendar of Events 2018. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received the visit of the Prime Minister of the People's Democratic Republic of Laos, Thong Luen Sisoulith, at Bogor Palace, West Java on Tuesday. At the meeting, the two leaders agreed to help resolve the Rohingya's minority issue in Rakhine State, Myanmar. President Joko Widodo said that Indonesia has agreed to help resolve problem in Rakhine State, Myanmar. In addition, the two heads of state also discussed various ASEAN and regional issues. President Joko Widodo hope in the meeting bilateral relation is increasingly tight. Joko Widodo, President, also deliver his appreciation to the Laos Prime Minister who has held various events to tight bilateral relation. The President further said that within 60 years of bilateral relation, the two countries uphold the principle of mutual trust and mutual respect. Indonesian President Joko Widodo officially inaugurated the 32nd Trade Expo Indonesia, or TEI, at the Indonesian Convention Exhibition in BSD City, Tangerang, Banten Province, on Wednesday. The head of state outlined three efforts to boost Indonesian trade, the first being to improve product quality and the delivery of goods. President Joko Widodo said in his opening remarks that buyers should pay attention to the aspect of specification of the goods that should be in accordance with the order. Another important factor is the budget, meaning the price should be competitive and the delivery should be on time. Secondly, Indonesian product must be able to penetrate non-traditional market in Africa, Eurasia, the Middle East, South Asia, and South America, among others. The President urged Indonesian embassies overseas to identify product in demand that Indonesian businessmen could meet. The third aspect is taking precautionary steps and adapting to the current shift in trade from offline to online. Digital change is unavoidable and should be embraced to boost the nation's trade. Selayar Islands Regency launched its 2018 calendar of events at Bali Urang Susilo Sudarman Sabta Pesona Building, Jakarta on Wednesday, 11 of October. With the target of 11,000 tourists, the launching of calendar of events is an effort of Selayar government to promote the region and increase tourist visit to Selayar Regency. In his speech, Vice Regent of Selayar Islands, Dr. Haji Zainuddin, said he was confident to promote the Selayar Islands due to its competitive tourism object.
Saya ingin mengatakan bahwa di Kabupaten Kepulauan Selayar itu
I said the Selayar region has more competitive tourism object than other regions. Promoting Selayar is reasonable because our tourism object, especially the natural ones, are very sexy and charming, and at least we have 176 objects with legal standing.
Ada 176 objek yang saat ini telah memiliki kedudukan hukum sebagai objek wisata.
Furthermore, Zainuddin said the Selayar Island Regency will prioritize its culture and nature, especially maritime tourism, because it is in line with the local government vision of prosperous maritime people. Meanwhile, head of Selayar Tourism Agency, Ince Rahim, said not only focusing on 2018 agenda, the Selayar Regency government is targeting 20,000 tourist visit, considering Selayar will be part of SAIL Indonesia in 2019. Indonesian Tourism Ministry appreciated the 2018 calendar of events of Selayar Regency, which was launched at Balayurung Susilo Sudarman Saptapesona Building in Jakarta on Wednesday, 11 of October. The appreciation was conveyed by the Tourism Ministry National Tourism Marketing Development Deputy Esti Reko Astuti in her remarks during the same occasion. Esti Reko Astuti said that this year the Selayar Regency becomes the fastest region to launch its 2018 calendar of events.
Baru pertama kali ini, bahkan saya bilang Selayar
Regency becomes the first and the fastest region to launch its 2018 calendar of events. So we need to appreciate it. And I had seen almost all core events. It has 50 events consisting of 12 core events and 38 supporting events.
Memang total kegiatan saya pelajari ada 50. Core eventnya ada 12, supporting eventnya ada 38.
Nevertheless, Esti Reko Astuti expect that all dates in Selayar Regency calendar of events have been fixed because some agendas are still tentative. Besides, she also asked the Selayar Regency government to develop its tourism potential and promotion by cooperating with other regions around the regency. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin hope Indonesia included in the world top 10 halal producer of the world. Minister Lukman Hakim on the inauguration event of Board of Halal Product Guarantee organizer said in Jakarta on Wednesday that one of efforts to make Indonesia included in the top of 10 of the world halal producer of Global Islamic Economy Indicator 2017 version is by arranging a good governance for halal product guarantee. The minister added currently the government has inaugurated agency of halal product guarantee which later becomes the starting point of improving the competitiveness of halal product. He believed that it will be achieved with the support, cooperation, synergy, and togetherness of all parties. And the last item, Indonesia relies on players in women's singles, women's doubles, and mixes in the last 8th round of BWF World Junior Championship 2017. This was stated by Indonesian team manager Susi Susanti. After successfully defeating Spain with a score 3-0, Susi said on Wednesday that she has prepared the team as well as possible to be able to give the best achievement for Indonesia. According to Susi, in the 8th round, the strength of the team has been already more evenly. She will try to take point in the sector, which is more possible. Overall, 5 numbers to be performed must be prepared well.
Ya, yang pasti mungkin sudah masuk 8 besar, otomatis kan tim yang
the sector which has great opportunity is taken, which sector that we have more opportunity is. The opportunity is in the single female, double female, and mixed players.
Yang itu yang harus kita ambil.
Meanwhile, coach of China team Zhu Weilun said that Indonesia is as the strong team, so his team will focus on every number to gain victory. He did not mention the number, which becomes priority because according to Zhu Weilun, Indonesia team has the best player in each number. Zhu Weilun also promised that he will give interesting game for public who come to Among Grogo Sport Hall. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesian President and Laos Prime Minister agree to help on Rohingya problem. Indonesian President Joko Widodo opens Trade Expo Indonesia. Indonesian Tourism Ministry appreciates layar calendar of events 2018. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello, listener. It's nice to be with you again in our daily program commentary entitled Implementation of E-commerce Tax. Listener, the rise of online shopping activities today brings about a blessing to digital economy actors. The promising financial turnover has encouraged the growth of new businesses around the world, including in Indonesia. In connection with the growth of digital economy, the government of Indonesia will apply taxes to e-commerce entrepreneurs to boost the country's revenue from this sector. At a recent hearing with the House of the Representatives DPR that was continued by a special meeting with President, Minister of Finance, Sri Mulyani Indrawati said that her ministry would soon issue a new tax regulation. One of them is about e-commerce tax, which will be below the value-added tax rate, VPN, or below 10%. In addition, Minister Sri Mulyani ensured that the regulation will also contain e-commerce tax payment procedures. Meanwhile, Executive Director of the Center for Indonesian Taxation Analysis, Justinus Prastowo, said that the government's plan to withdraw tax from e-commerce must be immediately realized. He views that there is a huge tax potential in e-commerce. According to Justin, to fairly impose tax in e-commerce, Indonesia needs to learn from the European Union that has implemented the original principle of value-added tax. However, e-commerce entrepreneurs asked the government, especially the Directorate General of Tax, not to add more tax burden. CEO of Bineka.com, Hendry Tio, who is also chairman of the Association of E-commerce Indonesia, said that so far e-commerce players had paid value-added tax, or VPN, and income tax, VPH, as the offline stores have done. However, he added that basically all e-commerce industry players are ready to pay taxes based on available regulations. Hendry Tio also remarked that the government should also be fair to impose tax for the top OTT belonging to foreigners because their platform also sells, such as Facebook and Twitter. It is fine for the government to impose taxes to anyone conducting economic business in Indonesia because this is related to the ongoing transaction. The government is intensively striving for other tax sources to increase the state's revenue, since it is connected with the development of Indonesia, especially infrastructure development that requires substantial funds. In today's modern era, almost all aspects of activities require a fast, secure, easy, and efficient way through all digital transactions. The rise of online trading has become a profitable option for entrepreneurs. Therefore, it is reasonable for the government to impose the e-commerce tax. But in a bid to maximize revenue from e-commerce, one integrated service is required in the withdrawal of value-added tax in every digital transaction. Well, listener, that was commentary. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listeners. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History, over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on October 12, 1968, when Equatorial Guinea its independence from Spain. Equatorial Guinea is a country located in Central Africa, formerly the colony of Spanish Guinea. Its first independence name evokes its location near both the equator and the Gulf of Guinea. Equatorial Guinea is the only sovereign African state in which Spanish is an official language. Independence was conceded on 12 October 1968 and the region became the Republic of Equatorial Guinea. Francisco Marcias Guimea was elected as president. The next event is that in 1999, Pervez Musharraf returned to power in Pakistan through bloodless coup. Pervez Musharraf is a Pakistani politician and retired four-star army general who was the 10th president of Pakistan from 2001 until tendering resignation to avoid impeachment in 2008. Musharraf entered the Pakistan Military Academy in 1961 and was commissioned in the Pakistan Army in 1964 and went on to play an active role in the Afghan Civil War. He rose to national prominence when being elevated to four-star general appointed by the then Prime Minister Sharif in October 1998, making Musharraf the head of the armed forces. He led the Kargil infiltration that almost brought India and Pakistan to full-fledged war in 1999. After months of a contentious relation with Prime Minister Sharif, Sharif successfully attempted to remove Musharraf from the army's leadership. In retaliation, the army staged a coup d'état in 1999, which allowed Musharraf to take over Pakistan and subsequently place Prime Minister Sharif under a strict house arrest before moving towards a trial against Sharif in Adelaide prison. Musharraf became the head of the military government while remaining the chairman of the Joint Chiefs in 2001 and the chief of the army staff. Although Musharraf relinquished the position of chairman of Joint Chiefs in 2001, he remained the army chief until retiring from the army in 2007. And the last event was in 2002 when Bali bombing occurred. The 2002 Bali bombings occurred on 12 October 2002 in the tourist district of Kuta, Bali. The attack killed 202 people. A further 209 people were injured. Various members of Jamaah Islamiyah, a violent Islamic group, were convicted in relation to the bombings, including three individuals who were sentenced to death. The attack involved the detonation of three bombs, backpack mounted device carried by a suicide bomber, a large car bomb, both of which were detonated in or near popular nightclubs in Kuta, and a third much smaller device detonated outside of the United States consulate in the Pasar, causing only minor damage. An audio cassette purportedly carrying a recorded voice message from Osama bin Laden stated that the Bali bombings were in direct retaliation for support of United States war on terror and Australian rule in the liberation of East Timor. On 8 November 2008, Iman Samudra, Amrosi Nur Hashin and Huda bin Abdul Haq were executed by Paris squad on the island prison of Nusa Kambangan at around 12:15 local time PM. On 9 March 2010, Dul Martin, nicknamed the Genius, believed to be responsible for setting up one of the Bali bombs with a mobile phone, was killed in a shootout with Indonesian police in Jakarta. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listeners, welcome back with me, Rahmana Rahmana, in the program Focused. The title of today's Focus is Business People Must Be Ready to Face ASEAN Economic Community. Business people managed by the community through Micro, Small and Medium Enterprises MES and Small and Medium Enterprises IKM should be able to compete, especially in facing the pre-market of ASEAN Economic Community AEC. All business people are certainly required to improve the quality of production and can be competitive to seize the pre-market opportunity. This was affirmed by Regent of Lebat, Iti Octavia Jayabaya, in her speech in the commemoration of the 70th anniversary of cooperatives in Rangkas Bitung Square, Banten, last Sunday. She said that the local government appreciates some products of small and medium enterprises from Lebat Regency Communities products through export market. The products are light bamboo handicrafts, printy palm sugar with fine production look like ant, fossil gemstones. The products are supplied to a number of countries in ASEAN region, European countries, and Middle East region. Therefore, she hopes the products of the small and medium enterprises can also go national and international. Region E.T. Octaviani also remarked that to penetrate the pre-market of ASEAN Economic Community, business people must improve the production quality through the development of human resource management, entrepreneurship spirit training, and internship to other areas. In addition, they also have to improve packaging, halal certification, international organic certification, barcode to be registered through Food and Drug Administration, BP Fund. She further said that the implementation of pre-market would be hard enough to encourage the development of people's economy, but business people must have excellent advantages with their own products. So the products of the small and medium enterprises are much interested in the pre-market. Currently, the number of small and medium enterprises in Lebat is 49,686 units from 49,400 business units before, and IKM is 15,600 business units. Listener, that was Focus Today. Thanks for listening.
Here is our news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received the visit of the Prime Minister of the People's Democratic Republic Laos, Thong Luen Sisoulith, at Bogor Palace, West Java on Thursday. Indonesian President Joko Widodo officially inaugurated the 32nd Trade Expo Indonesia, TEI, at the Indonesian Convention Exhibition in BSD City, Tangerang, Banten Province on Wednesday. Selayar Islands Regency launched its 2018 calendar of events at Bali Urang Susilo Sudarman, Sabta Pesona Building, Jakarta, Wednesday, 11 of October. Indonesian Tourism Ministry appreciate the 2018 calendar of events of Selayar Islands Regency, which was launched at Balai Urung Susilo Sudarman, Sabta Pesona Building, Jakarta, Wednesday, 11 of October. Indonesian Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin hope Indonesia included in the world top 10 halal producer of the world. And the last item, Indonesia relies on players in women's singles, women's doubles, and in mixed in the last 8 round of BWF World Junior Championship 2017. And that was the news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce Wiwitan tradition from Yogyakarta, so stay tuned. Li listener, majority of people of Yogyakarta are farmer, like other people in Indonesia who have various rituals or cultural traditions which closely related to agriculture, such as Wiwitan tradition of Yogyakarta people. The Wiwitan tradition is a form of gratitude to the earth as a Sedulur Sikap or brother and Dewi Sri or Queen of Rice, who are believed to grow rice before harvest. For the Javanese people, the earth is Sedulur Sikap because it is considered as a brother who must be respected and preserved for the sake of life. In the Javanese tradition, the concept of asking for Sedulur Sikap is impolite. Human must giving and taking to Sedulur Sikap, not asking. When do not preserve nature, then the earth, wrathful, by imposing a bad situation called pagebluk or plague. Pagebluk marked with poor crops, drought, erratic weather, and many more. In addition to be held as a form of expression of gratitude, Wiwitan tradition that have been held since long time ago is also held as a means or media to the social interaction between farmers and the relationship of harmony between landowners with nature. In Javanese, Wiwitan comes from the word Wiwit, which means to start. In this tradition, Wiwitan means to start cutting the rice before the harvest is done, which is the core of this traditional event. Wiwitan tradition begins with a convoy of residents bringing a variety of traditional foods, such as savory rice, chicken, jackfruit vegetable, crackers, tofu and tempeh, anchovies, peyek, eggs and others. They leave for the rice field. When arriving in rice fields, the Wiwitan ceremony is guided by the custom elder, then pray and reciting a mantra. Before the rice crops are cut, the elder watering it with the incense water and sprinkle of the roses. Then the rice is cut with ani-ani or traditional rice cutting tool, then stored in the clothes. Listener, after the process of cutting rice is done, farmers usually distribute food that has been prepared to the surrounding community. Every people can follow the Wiwitan tradition without exception and eat the food that has been prepared by the local community. After having meal together, people return to their homes, while pieces of rice which are stored in the jari cloth then put above the door. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Wiwitan Tradition from Yogyakarta. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about Toba Lake Enchanted Carnival 2017. Stay tuned. Toba
Toba is one of the biggest lakes in Indonesia, situated in North Sumatra. This lake has been acknowledged as the deepest and biggest volcanic lake in the world and the second biggest lake after the Victoria Lake in Africa. Not only that, another uniqueness of Toba Lake is its location in Samosir Island of about 64,000 hectares wide in the middle of the lake. Toba Lake is a complete natural tourism destination, geopark, and water sport with its unique culture. This lake will continue to develop its potency. One of them is by stating the lake as the 10 priority tourism destination. Besides, infrastructure will also be built. Several tourism promotion have also been held to boost tourism visit in the area. One of them is Toba Lake Enchanted Carnival. Toba Lake Enchanted Carnival 2017 will be held in Baligay, Toba Samosir Regency, North Sumatra on September 9-10, 2017. The carnival is an annual agenda to strengthen Indonesian unity and bring it to the world. It is hoped that in 2019, Toba Lake can attract 1 million tourists. This event also targets to give domestic regional products revenue worth 16 trillion rupiah and to employ 300,000 people. This will increase people's welfare. This carnival will be participated in by 2,000 people. 500 of them are the core participants to have a ceremony of Menjunjung Tanduk. Tanduk is a plate filled with rice that is usually held on the Batak woman head. There is also a trumpet. The carnival also varies with boat parade in Toba Lake. The parade will cover 3.5 kilometers from Soposurung to Balerong. The carnival line will end in Balerong Traditional Market, a beautiful market consisting of 6 buildings decorated with Gorda Batak sculpture. Besides, tourists can also visit several tourism objects around Lake Toba. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany with the team Toba Lake Enchanted Carnival 2017. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the Regular Music, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian musical, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present nostalgic pop songs from Indonesian female singer Ermi Kulit. Listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Pasrah by Ermi Kulit.
Lama ku rasa sepinya hati. Datang menggoda. engkau lupakan. Di mana lagi, kemana lagi harus ku cari tempat untuk bertanya. Angin pun tiada, burung pun tiada, semua tiada bawa berita. Kalau begini, terus begini, aku tak tahu bagaimanakah lagi. Biarlah semua akan kupasrahkan padanya Ilahi. Kau lupakan. Di mana lagi, kemana lagi harus ku cari tempat untuk bertanya. Angin pun tiada, burung pun tiada, semua tiada bawa berita. Kalau begini, terus begini, aku tak tahu bagaimanakah lagi. Biarlah semua akan kupasrahkan padanya Ilahi. Kalau begini, terus begini, aku tak tahu bagaimanakah lagi. Biarlah semua akan kupasrahkan padanya Ilahi. Padanya Ilahi.
Ermi Kulit was born with the name Ermi Maryam Nurjana Kulit. She ran her music career since 1973 and has produced more than 20 albums. Her name began to be known to the public since she released a single entitled Pasrah and Kasih. In May 2017, the recording company where Ermi Kulit doing her music work, giving an appreciation for her presence in the Indonesian music industry. The record company collected 20 hit songs from Ermi Kulit, which were re-released in digital form of playlists and played simultaneously on several radio broadcasts in the country during the launching on May 13, 2017. Interestingly, 20 songs in this playlist were divided into 4 categories. There are 5 pieces of songs in one category. The 4 categories are formed into Ermi initials, which represents the great works of E Essentials, R Romantics, M Memories, and Y Yours. Besides that, the composition of the song in each playlist is made in such a way to form a story, like the song Pasrah included in E category. This song tells about the resignation of someone who separates from the lover. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Kasih by Ermi Kulit.
Seakan kau hadir di sisi.
The song Kasih was composed by Richard Kyoto illustrates the story of a woman. She no longer has the love of someone who is very special of her life. Well, to conclude our segment of Music Corner, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Aku Masih Menunggu and Hanya Dirimu by Ermi Kulit. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Saat jumpa pertama membahas. segala rasa, rasa gelisah dalam hati ini. Kini tiada lagi yang kuharap, hanya dirimu seorang yang selalu kudamba selama ini. Sambutlah oh kekasih hari ini dengan sejuta
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Satu pun akan berlalu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.